I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
I knew it. I love when he does that.
Wrestling has more than one royal family.
Adrenaline in my soul. Something, something, Cody Rhodes.
Tribal chief around here. Yeah, you see me, the tribal chief. That's right.
On time. But let me go ahead and tell you.
Shut your bitch ass up.
Look how far we've come. You're still here. This is us. These are my confessions. Still going strong. Yeah, man. Let it go. I've been looking at you all night.
Welcome to episode 404 of the Hoots Podcast. Hope you guys are doing well. It's yours truly, the Fairest Brother, Adam, a.k.a. Josh Lopez, coming to you live from the Break Free Room here in Chicago, Illinois, on this Thursday, March 14, 2024. A lot of crazy things going on in the world of professional wrestling. We're about 3.5 weeks away from WrestleMania 40. Got a lot of stuff to discuss from this past week's Raw and SmackDown, all down in Texas. We got some big business, I guess, to discuss. Or was it big business? That's another question to be answered. But welcome, everybody, to the podcast at Hoots. We are 96 episodes away from the finale of the Hoots podcast, which will be 500. Thank you all for continuing to support us over these past 8 years, and hope you guys can continue to come along with us on this journey as we put a good ribbon on the bow that is the podcast, the Hoots. Like I said, I'm Joshy. You can follow me on Twitter if you'd like at the Hoots Podcast. Make sure to like this video and subscribe to our YouTube channel if you're watching us live on YouTube. Pretty simple deal. We're trying to hit the 1,000 subscriber mark on YouTube and want to add some of these like YouTube plaques here into the studio, which would be really cool. All I ask is to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and don't forget to press the bell notification so you never miss any notifications when we upload new content or streams or whatever comes through my brain threshold to deliver to you guys. Don't forget, as always, you can see my transcript work at WrestlingHeadlines.com. And the podcast, The Hoots, drops free of charge anywhere you get your podcast from every single Thursday, which means you can get it for free on Apple Podcasts, what? Spotify, what? Stitcher's no longer a thing, but Pandora, what? iHeartRadio, what? Make sure to follow the show, by the way, the audio versions on Spotify. That helps expand and reach the show, and that would help us out a lot. But besides that, that's pretty much it for plugs. Not going to charge you any money to support this podcast. pretty simple ordeal. And as I'm doing these live recordings, anybody's watching live on Twitter, X, Facebook, and or YouTube, if you have any comments or questions that you want to give out about the world of wrestling and you have any questions for yours truly, I'm open to answer any of your questions and give you a shout-out on air. I would like to say that you know, coming up in a few weeks is WrestleMania. So it's that time of the year. The grind is real. But I'm having fun with it. And congrats to everybody that got approved to be part of the contingent that will get to cover WrestleMania in Philly. I think that's pretty cool. And well deserved to everybody that got that opportunity. So just want to throw that out there. We got a lot of wrestling stuff to hit. And I know some of you may want to hear my thoughts on what's going on with the Bears since I'm here in Chicago and NFL free agency started this week. So I can talk a little bit about that as well. I'd like to have a little conversation with you right now before we get to the wrestling talking, let you guys know a little bit of what's going on with me. You know, it's not just a wrestling podcast. It's also a live podcast. And, especially for those who are watching or listening to us for the first time, this is your back porch style of wrestling talk. So it's a little different pace and a little different vibe than your standard professional wrestling podcast. But I like to bring you guys into my life. This is my platform to speak my mind without fear of judgment, stupid comments or whatever. I can freely express what I want to express and then keep it at that. You know, if you ask me right now, am I happy with how things are going right now in my life? I'll say, yeah. I'm very grateful for the things I've been able to attain since I started this transformation project last May, and the progress continues to come, and I got another doctor checkup coming up on Monday. So I'm kind of curious to see where I'm at, and I was kind of talking about this last week where I kind of hold some shame that I got myself in the position that I did as far as like my weight and health is concerned, but I feel like I made a lot of progress along the way these past eight to nine months, and you know, I have a certain goal that I'm going to hit, and I'm excited just as much as anybody else to see what's going to come out of it at the end. But it's a journey, man. I'm not going to lie. There's good and bad days that come with this. More from a I guess, a self-confidence point of view more than anything. It's not a lack of work ethic or drive or motivation. Anybody that knows me personally knows that I'm motivated and driven, and I work hard to a fault at times. But, you know, this journey has been rewarding in a lot of ways, but it's also been a reminder that I shouldn't have gotten myself to this situation, and I hold some shame to that. And I also hold some shame for the way I've gone about certain things and stuff like that. And for those who don't know, the nature of my workout stuff comes from walks. I did a lot of research when I got into doing this project, where it is more, you know, more productive, and with the goal that I had to shed off weight by walking, as opposed to going to a gym and paying whatever fee it is every month and running and running and running and other stuff. I helped my dad out with his food delivery route. I've been doing that for the last couple months on the side so I could work on my muscles and gain that stuff in, like just move my core muscles and everything. And that's been fun, you know, get some money on the side. Get to hang out with my old man, but also more importantly, just get some different type of work, and it's labor work than it is anything else. You know, that's been fun. I've been having a lot of fun doing that, get some money on the side and get to hang out with my dad. But every part of this journey has been a process for me, good and bad. And it's also opened my eyes to what I want and what I need out of my life right now. You know, is there a part of me that's disappointed that I didn't get approved to get the media credentials for WrestleMania 40 this year? Yeah, I'm not going to run from it, and I'm not going to be ashamed of it because I care, you know, and I felt like I earned it. I felt like I've been earning it for the last 10 years. And, you know, sometimes, you know, the nose catches up to you. And I don't know if that's an omen or a message, but, you know, sometimes you can get exhausted, but other times professionally you get told no, 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 right? And I try to keep a brave face and, you know, put my nose to the grindstone and just let my work speak for itself and, you know, have that wishful hope, I guess, that one day the door will open for me. One day I could get the opportunity to be in a press box to cover WrestleMania. And I think for those who don't understand, at least from my point of view, as somebody who's been tenured in this wrestling media field that's not been rooted in rumor and innuendo nonsense and misleading the audience and trying to act like I have all the sources and stuff, I'm one of the very few people within this field on air and off that provide genuine, authentic content for the wrestling audience. And, you know, especially with my transfer work specifically, you know, I those credentials I put to a really high guard because within my field, that's a source of validation and a prize. You know, there's not really awards, I guess, for wrestling podcast awards or stuff like that to shoot for. This is like the holy grail for me. And this is the stuff that I shoot for my calendar year. And it's it would have been a source of validation for the work I've been putting into, especially this past year. I feel like I've been dishing out my best work as far as transcripts are concerned. You could look on the Google search engine and type in any of, like, let's say SmackDown March 8th, and you'll see my articles ranked very high on the Google search engines. And, you know, I see the numbers that we get on the site for the articles that I type out, and I don't know, man. It's a little frustrating. I'm not going to lie. You know, it's been messing with my head the last couple of years, especially the nose, and then having to run into that whole furlough situation and et cetera, et cetera. And this is the part of the wrestling content creation for me that's a struggle in trying to balance it. Like, I know that I'm good at doing transcripts. I know I'm good at transcribing matches and promos. I know I'm halfway decent recording a wrestling podcast. I mean, this show has now gone past 1.1 million downloads and plays as I'm talking to you now here on March 14th. And it gets to the point where you're wondering, what am I not doing? You know, what's missing? You know, and why do I keep being told no? And again, could that be an omen that maybe this is not meant to be? Maybe I'm not meant to be in the press box. Maybe I'm more meant to be actually behind the desk and calling a WrestleMania and working for the company. Maybe that's it. I don't know, man. But one thing I do know, and I want to bring this back full circle as far as my personal journey that I'm on right now in this transformation project, I just don't have time to waste. And I think really that's something that's been on my mind a lot because, you know, I've had my wit's end of living here in Chicago, you know. I have nothing that I want within myself in my career and personally is here. You know, it's just not. Like, I'm here, my physical body is here in Chicago, grateful that I have my family and a really good support system. And this is not directed towards anybody within my family, but I'm here, but I'm not living. You know, I'm doing what I need to do to survive. I've started to learn how to cook, which has helped me out in a lot of ways. I've been good with saving my money. I've been, like I said, I've been trying to better myself with the health stuff and, you know, taking it month by month with the amount of weight that I can lose and stuff like that. And still, I'm not in a place within my heart that I'm fully happy. And that's the only thing that I need to know, an indicator that I need to go. And I'm not saying this is going to be in a couple of months or anything. My goal was to move out of Chicago by the end of this year. I'm turning 30 in May. I'm not married. I don't have kids. Everything that I'm doing right now within my articles, the podcasts, the stuff that I'm doing aside, I could be doing it anywhere in the country right now. And I give myself a lot of credit for the fact that I'm really good with saving my money and balancing that stuff, especially when I moved out the first time a couple years ago and I was at my old apartment. Now having the tools of learning how to cook and stuff like that, that's even going to be doing me wonders. And I just had enough. You know, it's time to go. I can't sit here and wait and hope that ESPN 1000 and 670 The Score are going to come knocking on my door saying, or respond to an email or respond to an application or respond to an interview. Hey, we're going to bring you in. Oh, we're going to hire you. Oh, you're more than qualified to be hired for this on-air radio position. Yet we don't respond to you and or canceling the position along the way. And I'm not told you're not accepted and what you need to do to work on. You know, I can't sit here and wait. I know the expression is give it time, give it time, give it time. I don't have time. Tomorrow's not guaranteed. So I'm here, I'm present, you know, I'm generally happy. I don't have really much to complain about. I'm not distracted by anything. I'm not in a bad place with my mental health. I'm not like really generally concerned about things within my control. But I'm not living. And the life that I have for myself and the way I see things and the way I have my goals and aspirations is just stifling being here in Chicago. I can't do it anymore. I just can't. You know, no amount of money or wishful thinking or staying in hoping things will change around is going to be good enough for me. I have to go and start living my life. And that's just the truth, man. You know, I can only speak for myself. And, you know, this is the part that comes with the podcast. You know, I share stuff with you guys that I don't share with other people. I can't be here anymore. I can't. Especially when it comes from a professional point of view, I just can't. You know, I'm good with saving money. I'm good at controlling what I need to control, but what I want and what I need for out of myself is not here in the city anymore, and I can't sit here and wait and hope for things to change, and maybe I could find an apartment downtown here in the city or something else. Like, I just need to get out of this cycle. I need to get out of this environment, and I need to start anew. So whether it's in a couple months or the end of the year or something, this is going to be my last year of living here in the city. So, you know, I'm doing this for myself, and I'm holding myself accountable, and I'm holding myself to stay true to how I feel. And, you know, people could respect that, people could disagree with that, whatever. Nobody's in my shoes. And it's much better proposition for me to be out of here than staying here and hoping and waiting for something that's not going to come. So I need to get out of here. I do. I need to get out of here. So all that being said, let's move on here. Let's get into the wrestling talk and we'll get ready to rock and roll here. First off, we'll start off with this week in WWE, and we'll give you my thoughts on what happened on SmackDown. We'll get into Raw, everything going on with WrestleMania, and then sprinkle in some NXT talk as well. As we voyage on here on episode 404 of the Hoots Podcast, we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Hoots Podcast, everybody. Time to talk about what happened this week in WWE. We're about 3.5 weeks away from WrestleMania 40. First and foremost, I want to give a couple shout-outs since the last time I've talked to you guys here on the show. Congratulations go out to the U.S. Express of Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda, and also Thunderbolt Patterson and Muhammad Ali along the way. So we have three new members of the 2024 class in the WWE Hall of Fame added on since the last time I spoke to you guys. So I want to give congratulations to U.S. Express, who were also part of the first WrestleMania, Thunderbolt Patterson, a great wrestler from the territory days, and also congratulations to Muhammad Ali, who's also had a big impact in the wrestling world, believe it or not. You know, and also had an interesting encounter with Antonio Inoki in the past. So congratulations go out to everybody. And also Muhammad Ali was a part of the first WrestleMania as well. So you get a little sprinkle of everything, which is a nice little way they're going about it with the Hall of Fame this year. Is a celebration of the entire company within the 40 years. You know, I don't know who else they're going to add to the class. It's starting to get a little loaded right now. And they don't do the Hall of Fame the same setup like they did a few years ago, where it's just a standalone show and it would go on for like 3 or 4 hours. I remember, I think the last Hall of Fame ceremony that I went to was in 2017, which was the Kurt Angle one. DDP was in the class. Who else? Oh, Teddy Long was in there. That was a cool induction. That one was in Orlando, and I was, let's see, 2017. I was 23 at the time. Crazy how fast time goes, right? So, yeah, that was the last Hall of Fame, standalone Hall of Fame show that I went to. So that was a lot of fun. Let's start off with SmackDown, since I'm a little behind everybody. This is kind of the blessing and curse when it comes to doing this podcast, where like we do it on Thursdays. It fits with my schedule, but also I don't get the opportunity to react immediately following SmackDown the night after. I'm doing the transcript, and by that time, I'm just mentally fried, and I need a break. Even your truly needs a break from wrestling sometimes. But it's becoming a running theme here on this show, man. You got to start putting some respect on The Rock's name. So Rock, this past week, dropped another promo on his Instagram page, which I thought was hilarious. You know, he's in a, like, some kind of, like, arena where you have, like, horse fighting. Not horse fighting, but horse racing and stuff like that, which I thought was pretty funny. And, you know, Rock is still talking crap about Cody Rhodes' dog. Calling Seth Rollins the walking clown emoji. Rock has been killing it, man. And not only that, he's killing it also on live TV. So we finally had the face-to-face confrontation with Roman and Rock and Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. Everybody's been waiting for it. This is the first time, especially first time on live WWE television within a crowd. These four have been interacting with each other since that press conference in Vegas during Super Bowl week. And what was everybody going to talk about? What would be said? Will Cody be a man and, you know, give Rock a receipt? As you see the title of this week's episode. And all the answers were there. All questions were answered. Cody Rhodes did indeed slap The Rock in the face, but that was before The Rock went completely disrespectful and basically calling Cody Rhodes a mistake. And I gotta tell you what, man, seeing the facial expression that The Rock had when he received that slap told me one thing. He is screwing over Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. There's too much writing on the wall right now to tell me that, oh, Tamatanga is going to pop out with a black hoodie and he's going to cost, Seth Rollins is going to come out in a hoodie and cost Cody Rhodes the championship on night two. If there's any interference that's going to cost somebody a match, it's probably Drew McIntyre costing Cody and Seth Rollins on night one. That's all I can see right now. But everything that's gone on with the promo and the verbiage and the facial expressions, when Rock got slapped and seeing that smile on his face, that right there, I think, is a moment of respect that Rock gained for Cody in a way. Like, Rock appreciated that. Now, he's a heel, and we're talking character-wise and all this fun stuff. Sure, Rock is going to talk crap about Cody tomorrow with SmackDown being in Memphis, and we'll continue the animosity and stuff like that. But this the way The Rock's facial expressions were as the show's going off the air, that gave me an indication there is like, okay. All right, Cody, you got that dog in you, you know, and it goes into all the other promos that have been attached to this program, especially that first initial Instagram promo that Rock put out where he's like, I called you after the Royal Rumble and I told you, hey, the people want this match. People want Roman Reigns and The Rock. The people are not ready for Cody and Roman. Cody, with all due respect, you can finish your story another time. Or, you know, when that moment happened on SmackDown in Birmingham, and Rock says in his to Cody's ear, like, "All right, hey, let's do this for his soul, man. Let's do this for the dream." This is all tying in one way or another to Rock screwing Roman Reigns over at WrestleMania. Now, a whole bunch of different scenarios can be thrown out there. I know a lot of people have been tossing out the second coming of the Avengers Endgame. You know, a lot of people have been talking that and saying that, you know, either Rock or Roman are playing the role of Thanos. You're going to need Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Stone Cold Steve Austin of all people running out and all hell's breaking loose, a Pier 6 brawl during that Bloodline Rules match. But there's two specific things for me that really stood out the most with everything that we saw between Cody, Rock, Seth, and Cody these past two shows. One is what I just mentioned there. I think that indication of that slap was the last thing Rock needed for validation within his own narrative and agenda to trust Cody Rhodes to screw over Roman Reigns. I think that was the main thing there for me. And then the second part, we go into Monday night, and Cody's having the sit-down interview with Michael Cole, which I really enjoy when they do these interviews with Michael Cole. Michael Cole has been doing some of the best work of his career as he's heading towards the tail end of his announcing career. And he's definitely a Hall of Famer and one of the best announcers of all time. But just the ambience of the segment, how Cole goes about questioning Cody Rhodes, how can you trust Seth Rollins given your history, everything going into WrestleMania. You know, Seth Rollins, in his own way, wants to be the top dog, and he's going to get in the way of you finishing your story. And then seeing how Cody flipped the script, and it's like the story is not about Roman Reigns anymore. It's about Cody and everybody that's been following him through the journey of his career. And I thought it was interesting, Follow Me to the End, which was a little tie into the lyrics from the song Kingdom. There's a line there, "Follow me to the end." Da, 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 something like that. I forgot the other line after that. But, you know, I love that interview with Cody and Michael Cole. I thought it was really good. Brought back a question from Raw a few months ago during the fall, which I, you know, those little context clues and stuff like that, it's always nice to see within a wrestling show. I know some people want professional wrestling to turn into The Sopranos and Breaking Bad and having that level of storytelling, but also we have to understand just the premise of what professional wrestling is based on, and expecting Martin Scorsese level storytelling and et cetera, et cetera, is a stretch at times, especially with the goofy nature of what we talk about and cover each and every single week. All that being said, man, like, I'm on pins and needles. It's just as much as everybody else. You know, we can all have our conspiracy theories. Oh, Seth Rollins is going to cost Cody Rhodes just because. Cody should win the title at Madison Square Garden and not at WrestleMania. Look, I'm not aiming to come out here and say that my perspective is right and your perspective is wrong and it has to be this way or the other. What I'm telling you is that these four guys are firing on all cylinders, and I am excited for the shenanigans. I know a lot of people are going to do it because it's so predictable and it's wrestling Twitter to a T. Oh my God, this match was so overbooked. This tag match is so overbooked. Oh, this WrestleMania build is underwhelming because it's so predictable and so overbooked. I would love for you to have that confidence and false bravado that you know every single thing that's going to happen with these two nights of WrestleMania between these four gentlemen. But I just shared you what I think is going to happen, and I could be completely wrong with that, and I'd be 100% okay with that as well. I'm here to be surprised, but I'm also here to embrace the moment of what we're watching right now, because it's good shit. It just is. If you take a step back and take off your binoculars and put your inspector pad and your little pen to the side and try to watch the show as a fan, and I know it's difficult for people because a lot of hardcore fans and people who do shows like this have a one-way mindset of viewing things and analyzing it. If you just watch the segment on, let's say for Friday, for example, if you watched it on surface and for what it was, you're entertained. Then you go into Monday and a totally different vibe of the promo. And it's a different type of segment because you can relate to it and it tucks at your heartstrings, you know? You're getting some top-tier stuff between all four guys, and I'm trying to appreciate it for what it is instead of getting myself into a fantasy booking scenario, which turns into a shoot, which turns into me being disappointed if I don't get what I want. It's just something that's not productive and wasted energy, to be honest with you. We're taking a journey here. I'm curious to see what Rock is going to do tomorrow. I don't know if Roman Reigns is advertised for SmackDown tomorrow night in Memphis. He may be, he may be not. I'm not really sure. But if we get a Rock concert tomorrow, cool. I think right now it's very important that since the match is made official, that there needs to be more interactions with the other people that's within this story. It's time for Cody and Roman to have another standalone segment with just those two. We need maybe one more segment with Cody and Seth where those questions are thrown out there. Can you trust him? Is he in it for his own agenda? You know, is Drew McIntyre right? Is Seth Rollins a spotlight junkie? I thought those two had a very good segment on Raw this week. Sure, on paper it looks like Drew McIntyre is being tossed to the back burner, and it's just business, but I'm just as excited for the Drew McIntyre-Seth Rollins match as I am the Roman and Cody match, because really, the future of Raw is really predicated on what's happening within that match between Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins. So whether Drew McIntyre is some type of henchman for the Bloodline, which is a full circle moment with him fully becoming a hypocrite, and Seth Rollins saying that you remind me more of CM Punk as the days goes by. I thought that was a good line. And then, you know, we have the injury thing that we always have to worry about with Seth Rollins. Like, is this a scenario where his ego gets the best of him and he gets destroyed and this causes him to miss television? What if Seth Rollins is so physically destroyed within the match that he has with Drew, which is carrying over from the night before, that he's not even involved within the night two main event and Cody's left to himself? You know, there's so many other questions and things I could ponder and pontificate and guess. What I'm telling you is right now, we're in for some good shit, and there's going to be some big fight feels within this WrestleMania card right now that's being shaped out, and I'm here for it. I really am. Now, I'll say this. I do appreciate the fact that Bayley had a sit-down interview with Caleb Braxton this past Friday on SmackDown. And I thought it was okay, but there's definitely been some momentum that's been taken off this match between her and Io Sky, which is unfortunate. I think those two will have a good match, but it's definitely not anticipated right now. So so we can balance out the segment here. I'm not saying that I didn't like it. You can tell that there's something off that's not clicking on everybody for right now. I guess Bayley's having a match with Dakota Kai. There's a thing that went on backstage with Naomi and Bianca Belair where Naomi started to feel bad for Bayley, and Bianca Belair is still petty towards Bayley because of their rivalry. And, you know, maybe this ties in where those two go after the Kabuki Warriors for the tag titles. there's so many different scenarios within that match and that whole thing with the women's championship on SmackDown. But I can notice the fact that that match is not having a lot of buzz and momentum added to it. So that's that. I know a lot of people were kind of 50-50 this week with the announcement of the six-pack ladder match for the tag team titles at WrestleMania. Now, I, just like everybody else, would have loved to see Miz and R-Truth get their moment one-on-one against the Judgment Day. I don't think anybody would have had a problem with that. And this is part of the WrestleMania where everybody got to get an opportunity to be on the show. And I get it, it's a PLE era. Triple H doesn't book that many matches on these shows. So spots are going to be few and far between. I told you before that I think I said it last week, right? Like, I get it's a two-night WrestleMania, but you do not need to have multiple matches where what happens on night one affects what happens on night two. I think that's just overboard. It fits, obviously, what's going on within Rock and Roman and Cody and Seth because those have stakes on the line. But I know, like, why wouldn't you just do a ladder match and then the winner takes on Gunther on night two? Because the match would have been obvious that the night after. Somebody literally destroyed their body for an opportunity to get their ass whooped the next night. Does that make a lot of sense? Not really. So here we are. You have a ladder match, which is a little WrestleMania tradition, which is cool. But it's for the tag team titles, which is also kind of a full circle thing because, believe it or not, I think R-Truth said something he has a fear of ladders and spiders, I guess. Some type of phobia. But Miz and Truth can still get their moment, even though it's in a ladder match. You know, you'll throw in DIY in there. You'll throw the New Day in there. What? You could probably put in the Street Profits if you want. That match will be a barn burner. But Miz and Truth will find their way to have their moment at the expense of the Judgment Day. And that match is going to be insane. So you got like 12 people out there in one match, which is a tag team ladder match. By God, the bodies are going to hit the floor, if you know what I mean. What's going on, good brother? My good brother Sam Piopo here saying, what up, Joshy? I'm home just in time for the live version. What's going on, man? Hope you're doing good. I appreciate you, my man. Let's take a swig of water really quick as I'm speaking to y'all right now. By the way, I saw that the Sox traded Dylan Cease to the San Diego Padres. God, we're a brutal organization. We really are, man. The White Sox make... Oh, man. I'm not ready to pop a blood vessel right now. I just know that we're not even April yet, and I already know that the White Sox are going to lose over 100 games easily. Maybe 110, if we're being honest. And, yep, Sam just hit the nail on the head right there. We stinks. Yes, we do. Big time. Dylan Cease gets traded. We got an inept general manager and owner who can't make up his mind whether the team should be in the city or in Nashville, and then starts blaming the citizens of Chicago for not attending games at U.S. Cellular Field. Well, golly, I wonder why, you cheap fuck. Jesus Christ. Anyways, let's go back to the wrestling stuff. So, another bit of controversy, because nobody seems to be happy with wrestling these days. We had a gauntlet match to determine Gunther's opponent at WrestleMania. We had Ricochet, JD McGrillet, Sami Zayn, Nakamura, Bronson Reed, and Chad Gable, of course. And the match was a lot of fun, man. You know, I have certain matches that I really enjoy transcribing within the career that I've had so far. Like, I really enjoy doing, like, triple threat matches or four ways or even some even some like these gauntlet matches, you know, I enjoy those type of matches. It's fun. It's a fun challenge to tie those out. And this one that we saw on Monday was no different. I thought Ricochet and JD Big Mac, I thought that match was good. And then you got a little part of it was hindered, obviously, due to the number of commercial breaks that we all had to sit through on USA Network. But especially the final part of it with Chad Gable and Sami Zayn, you felt the emotion there. Both guys are desperate and trying to get an opportunity for a championship match, and especially at Gunther's expense at WrestleMania. You saw how much it meant to Chad Gable, especially when he lost. And you got to see that promo that he got to cut in an interview with Kathy Kelly in the locker room, which was good. If you guys haven't seen that, I recommend you guys go check it out. But Sami Zayn, business-wise and where things are going on right now, is the right choice to fight Gunther at WrestleMania. Will Sami Zayn defeat Gunther at WrestleMania? I don't know. I know it'll be a barn burner, and seeing how things went for Sami last year with main eventing WrestleMania, and now the following year he gets to fight one of the more popular wrestlers who always seems to steal the show during these big type of events. Sami Zayn will walk into Philadelphia with a chip on his shoulder and something to prove. So, hey, everybody, Meltzer, Alvarez, everybody out there, if y'all looking for your five-star banger at WrestleMania, you have it right there with Gunther and Sami Zayn. And it's going to be a good match. It's going to be a very, very good match. Look, I like Chad Gable. I like Chad Gable as much as anybody else does. But I just didn't see it happening. I don't believe he's the one to defeat Gunther. And it's not a believability thing. I just don't see him being the guy defeating him. But I know there's a We Want Gable movement and stuff like that. But like I said before, if you're a wrestling promotion and you want some credibility, you need to stop enabling crybabies on social media. That shit has to stop. Oh, my favorite didn't win, so we must make the title match a triple threat. This mindset needs to stop. And I know everybody thinks that Bryan Danielson walks on water, but this whole stuff stemming back from the Yes Movement has, in a lot of ways, ruined the fun of wrestling, where we can't enjoy a match. People are livid over the fact that we're getting Gunther and Sami Zayn just because Chad Gable is not in the match. But, oh, we need a triple threat. Oh, people are pissed that Liv Morgan is not fighting Rhea Ripley for the Women's Championship. Oh, let's make that a triple threat. We do not. The solution to any complaints is not always a goddamn triple threat match. Can we cut the crap already? Maybe I'm different, and maybe I was born in the wrong era, but the sense of entitlement and crybabiness and that we have to sit through on all these shows, regardless of it's AW or WWE, is getting ridiculous to this point. Like, enough already. So, look, cool. Try to force Chad Gable into the match with Gunther and Sammy. The match is going to be good regardless, but I had it up to here with the, oh, my favorite didn't win a number one contenders match, so let's do a triple threat match. How fucking creative. And these are the same people that whine about the lack of creativity from wrestling bookers and stuff. Seems like it happens every year. Yep, there's always one program that people stream triple threat to. Yep. Yeah, you hit the nail on the head, Oos. For me personally, I do not condone enabling entitlement. I just don't. I don't care. It's okay to have your valid criticisms, but if your only solution is forcing people into a triple threat match that don't need to be in a triple threat match, it's just ridiculous. It also goes back to that WrestleMania that I went to in Tampa Bay where it was Roman and Edge and Bryan Danielson. And then guess what? Roman stacked both of them and got the victory. So We could have just had Roman and Edge one-on-one, but no, we got to throw in Bryan Danielson because, oh, he's leaving soon. Oh, he's still being treated badly. Get the fuck out of here. What else did I forget to mention from programming this week? Oh, shout out to Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan. I liked the match. It was very physical. Becky Lynch won. Nia Jax attacked both ladies. Milton Bradley attacked both ladies. Excuse me. Becky and Nia will have a last woman standing match on Raw coming up on Monday. So we'll see how that goes. I don't know about you guys, but I have a feeling that Rhea Ripley is more likely to retain at WrestleMania, which I don't think is a bad thing. But you can see how much this means for Becky. Like, she still needs to prove to herself that she's still number one. So I kind of get the premise of what their feud is based on. But, man, Rhea gets louder and louder pops as the weeks go by. And she's undeniable, man. Like, it is what it is. but that's pretty much it. You know, there's a couple other things that came across my mind of, like, what could happen at WrestleMania. Had an idea of possibly maybe John Cena helping out Miz and R-Truth. R-Truth's childhood hero helps R-Truth win a championship at WrestleMania. That's a moment in itself. Don't tell me it's not. Or let's say Bayley wins the title, and then after the match, she hugs Michael Cole. You know, just like some small stuff like that, you know? I want to give you guys thoughts on this really quick. You know, we had Logan Paul and KSI on the show on SmackDown last week, announcing that Prime, their energy drink, will be a sponsor. They'll show actual sponsorships now within the canvas of the ring. Are you guys for that or are you not? I don't know. I'm kind of like 50-50 in between. You know, I am kind of a traditionalist in a sense when it comes to professional wrestling, but I also understand business too. So, you know, if it's okay for USC, I guess it's okay for WWE stuff. But are you for that stuff or no? Love to hear your guys' thoughts. But I will say one thing that I am in for. Randy Orton against Logan Paul. Yes. Make that happen. Now, here's the thing. Here's where a triple threat match would work. With Randy, Logan, and Kevin Owens. This is the triple threat match that makes sense and would actually work. I don't think Kevin Owens is going to be left off of WrestleMania, so we can throw that out there. Something's going to happen where either we're going to have like some type of number one contenders match, and then it ends up being a draw with Randy and Kevin pinning each other at the same time. Or kind of like old school wrestling where you have a number one contenders match with Randy and Kevin on SmackDown on TV. And Logan Paul, you know, his head is so big, he forgets logic. He gets in the ring and attacks both guys from behind, which causes a disqualification that ends up having both guys now fighting him into a triple threat. That one makes sense. Logan has history with Kevin recently, and Randy Orton wants to get revenge for what happened at the Elimination Chamber. Use some context first before you're suggesting triple threat matches. That's all I'm trying to say. But as far as like the sponsorship stuff, hey man, make your bag. They're making a lot of money right now, and it's not going to kill anybody to see a sponsorship in a ring canvas. Hell, we're already seeing it around the ringside area on those LED screens. Everybody was losing their shit during the Dominic and Rey Mysterio match last year because there was Cinnamon Toast Crunch logos around ringside. Guys, it's a fucking business, man. It's not the end of the world. Seriously. Anyways, I think there's one more grudge match that hasn't been announced yet for WrestleMania, and I think it might be coming from SmackDown, and that's probably going to be Rey Mysterio and Santos Escobar. Rey is scheduled to be on SmackDown tomorrow night. I think that's a pretty obvious option to go to, if I'm not mistaken. So we'll have to see how that goes. I do want to talk a little bit about NXT before we get to the main event segment. By the way, if you guys have any thoughts about what stood out to you, good, bad, or different from programming this week, I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts. Also, don't forget to like this video and share the show with your friends. Appreciate it, as always. We got NXT that happened this past Tuesday. By the way, shout out to Trick Williams, man. That guy is getting a lot of momentum. And I guess the good brother has some riz. Good for him, man. If you guys haven't saw the segment with him and Metaphor, so I just found this out the other day that him and Lash Legend are a couple. So good for them. That's pretty cool. But Lash Legend is in a group called Metaphor. They interrupt the promo that Trick Williams is cutting on Carmelo Hayes on on NXT this past Tuesday. And Lash tries to like slap Trick in the face. He blocks it. And they just start making out in the middle of the ring. The crowd's losing their shit. But the funny thing is, like, she like leaned into it too. So, hey man, some people got it like that. So, congratulations out to Trick Williams and Lash Legend. I thought that's pretty funny. By the way, I know today as we record this is Pi Day. My favorite pie is Puntang, and I'll leave it there. So, what else really quick from NXT? Ilya Dragunov was at Tony D'Angelo's family restaurant. You know, they're doing the whole mob shtick with him and the family. The new guy, Luca Crucifino, is now the consigliere for the Don. And Dragunov comes out and congratulates him on becoming the number one contender. So those two are fighting at Stand and Deliver for the NXT Championship. And guess what happens? Stax and Luca drag Dragunov out of the restaurant and stuff him in the trunk. And they're teasing to throw this freaking guy over the bridge in that shitty-ass Central Florida water, man. My God. That's probably one of the last things I would ever want to happen to me is being launched into a river in Central Florida. Because, one, you got the alligators. Two, you got that nasty, shitty-ass water. And three, God knows what else is infected within those waters down there. My God. I just thought it was funny. Like, they kidnapped freaking Dragon out there in the middle of the show and teased him to throw him off the bridge, man. That's some Paisan stuff there. So, that was that. I got to give props to Thea Hale. It's cool that she's done trying to do the Mean Girl shtick, and she's back to being her fun, energetic self. So I thought that was a good choice. And then if I have one match to recommend you guys go check out this week from NXT, believe it or not, it's Shawn Spears and Rich Holland. I thought it was a nice match. I thought it was pretty decent for what it was. So go check it out at your own leisure. But, yeah, man, we got NXT Stand and Deliver coming up soon as well, which is the Saturday early in the morning. So your boy's going to be busy that weekend. hey, man, I'm not going to play it. I'm going to be making some decent money that weekend. So, man, I'm excited for WrestleMania for many reasons within my own accord. But it's going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. Anyways, on that note, folks, that is what happened this week in WWE. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time once again to venture off into a world of professional wrestling that's produced and distributed on the networks of Warner Brothers Discovery, a program that's booked and written down by an inept millionaire who's a cocaine addict. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to talk about some big business. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's time once again for another restaurant quality edition of What the Hell is Wrong with AEW. Let's start this bad boy off in a 3, 2, 1.
Your meat, beat, your meat, beat, your meat, beat, your meat, beat, your meat.
Beat your meat.
I'm telling you, my time is right now. Right this minute, 2022. We're living it. My time is now. My time is right. God damn now.
And what intensity.
The quality of the product and the quality of the shows is at an all-time high right now. But I do know that it's a real war between AEW and WWE.
I'm still cashing fat checks, and I am still banging the hottest bitch in this entire place.
It's time for What the Hell is Wrong with AEW?
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Alright then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Oh man, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my god. Right now, I'm really noticing the best part of this segment these days is this beautiful portrait here made by the good brother Joe Cerna. By the way, if anybody can make this into a hoodie or a t-shirt, I'll give you like 30% of the sales of our merchandise. Really, it is a thing of beauty. Who wouldn't want that on like a coffee mug? Like, who wouldn't want this picture in like a hoodie or like a long sleeve shirt? Like, look at that. Mozart and Van Gogh would be jealous of this portrait here. You got all the cast and characters. You got Knockin' the Fuck Off on the far right. You got Jungle Twat, who's now in New Japan, calling himself the scapegoat. I don't know how you can be a scapegoat when nobody gives two shits about you, but that's neither here nor there. We got Brandon Cutlet. We got the Hardy Boys. Olivier's there. Obviously, we got CM Punk there for old time purposes. We got Aubrey Edwards, the worst referee on God's green earth. She makes Ed Hockley look like Moses. And then, of course, you got Mr. Spotlight, Mr. Look at Me, Chris Jericho, trying to hog the spotlight from every rising performer in AEW. And of course, we'd be remiss without mentioning Pockets. And of course, the one and only Dan Clanson. And that's Dan Clanson. So, all right. Big business. What did I like? What I didn't like? Let's address the elephant in the room, and I'm not talking about myself here, okay? Mercedes Moné makes her entrance. She makes her debut last night on TBS, live for the TD Garden. Another world worst kept secret. Big Pops is in her hometown. Obviously, she's got her family in the front row. I found out that she has a brother named Joshua, which is pretty cool. Outside of that, I'll say this. You can see the genuine excitement on her face, and I thought for some aspects of her promo, I thought they were good. I'm not going to come here and miss words. I've been very indifferent, and I haven't bought the hype of Sasha Banks or Mercedes Moné for a long time, even before she left WWE. So, one thing you notice about yours truly is that I am consistent within my perspectives on performers. And it doesn't really matter which promotion they're in. I keep it a buck. And here's the deal, man. AEW is a great rehab center for past WWE performers. It really is. I'll give Tony Khan credit. He founded a WWE rehab center where their shows are also ending up being dirt cheap vanity projects. So you got a lot of misplaced egos who are now in another promotion, and they can all banty around each other, sing kumbaya over the fact that they're not in the evil WWE and they escape prison. That's always a funny line that I always hear from people that leave WWE. And they make the voice to AEW, and Tony Khan rushes them into main event programs and title matches and top tier spotting on the show. And then 4 months later, nobody gives a shit. I hope this is not the case for Mercedes Moné. I will give credit where credit's due. She's very, very talented as an athlete and very good at what she does in the ring. I will give her that. I will say that her offense could be very generic at times. I've been consistent with that. Her promos are hit and miss with me. If that makes me a hater, I'll take that as a badge of honor. I have subscribed to this theory from John DeHood. If you're going to be offended, be offended. I'm not apologizing for how I feel about shit anymore. Be offended by it. I really don't care. So, I'm not going to come here and completely trash it. I thought it served its purpose. Is she going to be a game changer? No. Is she going to bring in new eyeballs to the promotion? Maybe. I haven't even looked at the ratings yet for Dynamite to see what it was this week. I mean, does it really matter? They were under 800,000 last week. So, watching this moment last night, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, okay, I've been waiting for this moment. It's not like everybody had any doubts that she wasn't going to be there. But at the same time, I throw my hands up in the air, and I'm like, you have a good opportunity to give me a reason to give a fuck what she has to say and does for the next couple months. But instead, you have her cut a promo, go into her whole spiel about how this is home and that the revolution can only be validated within her own perspective, I guess, and that the revolution can only exist if it goes global. That's the line that she used last night, which is a funny say because within AEW, the narratives are attached to what dirt sheet writers and message board twats spew out. And she fed into that niche audience, and she did a good job of it, so I give credit where credit's due. Her theme song is absolute dog shit. Let's start off there. That theme song is JoJo Dutch to the highest degree. I'm not saying that I can do better, but God, man, like, I've heard some crappy theme songs and instrumentals recently. The chick who will not be named on this podcast, I ran into the situation where I ran into the dude she chose over me and started to listen to, Sam, let's see what Sam here says. That theme song wasn't good at all. No, it was fucking horrible, dude. I wanted to pull my freaking hair out listening to that last night. It was brutal. Anyways, like I was saying, she who will not be named, I was stumbled on upon the guy that she chose over me. The guy makes instrumental beats. I thought those were shitty. What I heard last night was worse. And not even good. You know, my God. Like, what are we doing? Okay, I get the moniker CEO, but, like, it's not even something that I would bob my head into while I'm doing a walk. Like, if that song was my ringtone, I would be pissed off. That would be like the worst day, the worst part to start a day is having that theme song as your ringtone. That's just bad, man. Really, really bad. But congratulations to all of you who do, get on your knees and wish that you could drink Mercedes Moné's bathwater. But, you know, I want her to have a successful run there. I'm not going to come here and shit on it and wish the worst for her. But I'm not impressed. I still don't buy the hype. And that's just how I feel about it. So, off the cuff, man. I hold no punches here. I take a swig of water really quick. We had a lot of different matches across the show, but it wouldn't be an AEW show without, you know, Toy-Con dropping a load. Oh, my God! First hour of the show, we have Mercedes Moné. Then we have Samoa Joe Wardle. Then we have Bryan Danielson package. Oh, Will Ospreay kicks out the second hour. Oh, in between, we'll have Okada and the Fuck Bucks against Ed Kingston, Pac, and Pentagon. So we get, like, all the guys that everybody wants to see in the first hour of the show. And then we get to the second hour. I'm like, oh, great. I'm watching Collision for the second hour. And then we have Riho. Riho and Will Nightingale. It's the main event. I get the purpose there. Sasha Mercedes got injured in a match with Willow at the San Jose New Japan show. They have history with each other. I get it. Out comes Julia Hart and Sky Blue. They're part of a thing. Of course, it's an afterbirth brawl after every match. I was kind of surprised that Wardlow tapped out last night to Samoa Joe. I did not see that coming. I did not think that Wardlow was going to defeat Samoa Joe, but definitely did not see the tap out happening there. That was what it was. Sir Strickland comes out with a weird look on his face, and he's trying to get after Joe. Joe, you know, does the old bait and switch and heads to the back. Those two are probably going to fight each other at AEW Dynasty. Does Swerve become the champion in St. Louis? No. I am a fan of Swerve, though. I'm not going to come here and crap on him. But the match with Joe and Warlock, that was decent. Those two have history with each other. You know, they kind of do that spot where usually somebody will go off, like diving off the turnbuckles, and then Joe will like walk out of the way. But Wardlow scouted that and then did like a flying shoulder tag off. I thought it was pretty cool. The trios match, we had Okada and the Young Bucks against Eddie Kingston, Pac, and Penthouse, as Jim Cornette would say, Pentagon Jr. By the way, enough with the Alex Abrahantes stuff. I don't know what's worse in a recurring thing on this program. Seeing this dude jump around with those stupid-ass sunglasses and, you know, have, like, if you're a luchador, Alex Abrahantes is your general, is your manager. And then after that, we have to have more and more backstage segments with Officer Bar Brady, to the point where Officer Bar Brady sang happy birthday to Matthew Jackson, a.k.a. look at me, I'm a fake tough guy, Matthew Jackson. Mr. I can't cut a promo to save my goddamn life, Matt Jackson. Happy belated birthday, I guess. Are any of you buying this shtick with heel Okada with the Young Bucks? Because it doesn't really matter if the Young Bucks are good guys or bad guys. They all practically have the same matches and the same match layout. And this was no different last night. Trios match. You got the Dead Quartz ref out there. Nobody knows who the legal person is in the ring. People are running in doing spots and tag team spots for 3 minutes where you're supposed to be out of the ring in 10 seconds. I felt bad for Tony. My guy, referee Tony, he called me from the arena last night and he told me that he was at the show. And I'm watching the match and I'm like, oh, man, the Dead Quartz ref is there. I'm like, hey, man, just close your eyes. I know it'll be difficult for you. So, watching the match, was what it was. Okada beats Eddie Kingston with the Rainmaker. Now, Okada will be fighting Eddie Kingston next week on TV from Toronto for the AEW Continental Crown Championship. By the way, the whole stuff with the Continental Crown title, when you already have an AEW International Championship and a TBS Championship, you have 3 males mid-card titles on your programming. it's kind of goofy. Let's be honest. Can we be honest with each other, guys? It's kind of goofy. I guess one of the few things that I did like for Dynamite last night was the Jay White and Darby Allin match. I said it before, Jay White's been highly, highly underused and underappreciated in AEW, and this watered-down version of the Switchblade has been not appeasing for my eyes, to be honest with you, but what he did last night with Darby Allin and then what happened after the match where they finally turn on the Acclaim and that whole gang scissor bang stuff is over with. Hopefully Jay White can get back on track because that shtick was going way, way too long. So that was what it was. Let's see what else here. Did I forget anything? Oh, how can I forget? Chris Jericho is in a tag team with Hook now because Hook is now one of the new rising stars in AEW. Hey, you're getting momentum on AEW? Hey, let's have you team up with Chris Jericho. And then guess what? The next week, Chris Jericho gets Hook on Dynamite live from Toronto. Great. Whoopity-doo. By the way, did I forget to tell you that they're giving away Edge and Christian Part 3 in an I Quit match on free television next week? What could go wrong? Somebody records Edge saying I quit where he doesn't say I quit. oh, man. I want to enjoy this stuff, man. I'm not saying everything is bad, but I'm seeing a lot of people on Twitter last night like, oh, my God, AEW's turning the corner. Are we watching the same thing? I get there's a new set and new logos and color schemes, but turning the corner, they're on a hot streak, yada, yada, yada. I don't know about that. I really don't. One thing I do know is that Tony Khan is a expert of dropping his load and just rushing things that don't need to be rushed. So Karen Danielson will be taking on Brev, Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay against Bryan Danielson at AEW Dynasty. First time ever matchup. It'll be fantastic, obviously. I'm not naive to that, even though I'm not the biggest Karen Danielson fan in the world. I do have a lot of respect for him. But why is this being rushed? You can hold this off for Double or Nothing. Who knows? Maybe this is a signal that Bryan Danielson is calling it quits sooner than we realize. So Bryan Danielson and Will Ospreay, you're not going to hear me complain about it. It is what it is. And then obviously the main event was Willow against Riho. Willow won that match. We had the whole thing with Julia Hart and Sky Blue. Mercedes Moné makes the save, and that's how the show goes off the air with that brutal, brutal theme song. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for Dynamite. That was okay. I wouldn't say last night was a great show or anything like that, but kind of more of the same as we usually get from AEW shows. So that was my thoughts on that. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts. Did you like Mercedes Moné's debut? Were you entertained by it? Were you appeased by it, I guess? what stood out to you from it? I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts. But one more thing to do before we wrap up this segment, as we usually do here on the podcast at Hoots, is tied to, once again, take a trip into something we call the Excrement Impression of the Week. Let's start this off, shall we? Coming to you live tomorrow night on TNT's in our stellar edition of AEW Rampage. Here's your matches. First, we had Tony Storm and Mariah May in action. From there, we have Kenosuke Takeshita taking on Cole Mander. From there, we got the team of Orange Cassidy and Trent Barretta taking on the Dark Orders, John Silver, and Evil Uno. And the main event, it's a trios match between the Undisputed Kingdoms. The Kingdom. I got this wrong. Let me start it over, okay? Coming to you live tomorrow night on TNT, it's another stellar edition of AEW Rampage. Here are your matches. First, in women's tag team action, it's Tony. I need to take a sip of water because this lineup is so JoJo Dutch. This is a live lineup for worldwide television tomorrow. That's why I'm stammering my words right now. All right. Coming to you live tomorrow night on TNT, it's another solid edition of AEW Rampage. Here's your matches. First in women's tag team matches featuring Thomas, Tony Storm, and Mariah May. For there we have a grudge match against Kenosha, Takeshita, and Commander. For there we have the best friends, singing out of the Dark Orders, Evil Uno, and John Silver. And the main event, a trios match featuring the Undisputed Kingdoms, Matt Taven, Mike Bennett, and Roger Strong take on the team of Top Flight and Action Andretti. Then don't forget, coming to you live from the Chavis Arena in St. Louis, Missouri, it's the inaugural edition of AEW Dynasty. The first match announced, Brian Danielson against Will Ospreay. More matches to be announced, make sure to follow Tony Khan at Twitter, at Tony Khan. Make sure to get all your AEW tickets right now at AEWTIX.com. Repeat, that's AEWTIX.com. Woo! Oh, man. This show and this promotion is something else. But I know we post a question each and every week. I'd love to hear from you guys. Let me know what you guys thought about that whole Mercedes Moné debut. Did you like it? Did you not? Let me know. Hit me up at Twitter at The Hoots Podcast. But the question we ask each and every week, and we'd love to hear from you guys as well, what the hell is wrong with the AEW?
This has been What the Hell is Wrong with AEW.
What do you think?
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Alright then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
This shit, I'm out.
All right, folks. What the hell's wrong? AEW is in the books here for this week. Thank you all for hanging out with me so far. By the way, right around the corner, we're going to be doing the Backsports Q&A session. So if you have any questions for those who are watching and listening live, please comment down below, and I'd love to hear from you guys. Take a swig of water really quick. All right. We got one more thing to do before we get to our main event segment, and this is something that we do here on the podcast each and every single week, a segment that I like to call The Clown. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to crown some new winners of The Clown of the Week. Hey there, wrong video. Here we go.
I'm not clown. Clown, clown. 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 You're big clown. 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 Clown.
One more time for good measure.
I'm not clown. 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 You're big clown. 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 Clown.
Oh, man. I don't know if you guys saw this week, but obviously NFL free agency starting this week, and a lot of big moves going around the NFL world. I saw that Danielle Hunter went to the Houston Texans. Saquon Barkley got picked up by the Philadelphia Eagles, which leads us to the clown of the week this week. I don't know if you guys saw this on social media yet, but Tiki Barber, former Giants running back and now a mainstay on WFAN radio. I've listened to a couple interviews that Tiki's done on radio, and that guy just comes off very smug and very arrogant and stupid. He goes on this whole spiel over the fact that Saquon Barkley goes for the Giants to the Eagles and basically saying that Saquon is dead to him. First off, I know I've heard Tiki Barber talk before. I have listened to his show. That's not him joking around or being sarcastic about it. He's serious about that. And I get it's the spirit of competition and stuff like that, but that enough right there for me is worthy of being a clown of the week. And good on Saquon Barkley for appropriately cooking this Nimrod and preheating him because that's just a stupid ass comment to say, oh, I'm dead to you because you go to a division rival. It's not that deep. So Tiki Barber, you, my friend, you're definitely a clown of the week. Would also like to throw in Tony Khan as a clown of the week because why the hell not? What else? Let's see. Who else is worthy of being the clown of the week this week? I mean, I could talk about my White Sox again. Oh, shocker. They're destroying their whole team for what? Another 6 years of 100-plus losses? I kind of feel bad for Pedro Grifol. Like, why would you accept being a coach of this dumpster fire? We stinks. Let's see. I try to figure out who else would be like a good like recipient of the like clown of the week. You guys have any suggestions for me? This one should be a little controversial. How about Joe Biden as the clown of the week? I had a chance to watch the State of the Union address the other day. And can we get the senior citizen off of office? And I'm not, before anybody goes after me and stuff like that, I am not riding on one side of the fence of either political race. Both Democrats and Republicans are full of their own shit. But, you know, incompetency is incompetency. And you just got to call out for what it is. Joe Biden, you need to get out. So, that's definitely a pick for me. Oh, man, I got my deal here in the chat. Deal Joey. What's going on, man? I appreciate you. Thanks to you so much for checking out the show, man. I appreciate it. I got to throw Joe Biden there. And no, this is not me going out, oh, Trump should be our president. No, we do not need to have that publicity stunt again. We do not need that. But I'm going to throw Joe Biden in there because why the hell not? But on that note, that is our winners of the clown of the week this week. All that being said, I do want to say, as always, if you have any suggestions for the clown of the week, all you have to do is hit me up at Twitter at the Hoots Podcast. And who knows, maybe we can make a club out of it. You know what I mean? excuse me about that. Got to make sure I mute my microphones here. All right. All that being said, that is the clown of the week this week. When we come back, we got more something to do here on the podcast this week, and it's going to be a lengthy one because it's time for the Back Porch Q&A session right here on the Hoots Podcast. All right, guys, welcome back to the Hoots Podcast. One more segment to do. Time to get to our Back Porch Q&A session. As always, if you want to participate in the Back Porch Q&A session, all you have to do is hit me up at Twitter at the Hoots Podcast or the Hoots Podcast at gmail.com. And if you would like to advertise for the Hoots Podcast, it's up at the same mailing address at the Hoots Podcast at gmail.com. All right, first we go off to the good brother Chris Zaletta at XTeamZaletta24X on the Twitter machine. I appreciate the support as always for Chris, always being a good brother, sending in questions for us. Here's the first question Chris has for us this week. He says, what up, Boost? Here's the question for the Q&A this week. What's the project you and Rob are cooking up in the future? That's a good question. My buddy of mine, Rob Aurelius from ARCG Media, has been considering starting his own podcast. And I don't know when it's going to be released or when we're going to start doing it, but it's looking like it's going to be a real thing. And he invited me to be his co-host on the show. So I'm going to be helping out Rob get his feet wet into the podcasting realm. And we'll have some conversations. We'll talk a little bit of wrestling here and there, but it's not going to be a wrestling podcast. It's going to be more about life and like networking and stuff like that and some deep conversations. So, this is something Rob wanted to do for a long time, and I'm grateful that he thought of me to be a part of this project with them. So it's going to be a good time. So I'll let you guys know when more details get announced and when There's the possibility that we start recording these shows and stuff like that. And I think from what I heard from Rob, he wants to do this on video, so you could probably see us recording the shows at the same time. So that'd be pretty cool. So all that being said, shout out to Rob, and I'm looking forward to when we start recording these shows together. It should be a good time. All right, let's go. let's get to the next question, shall we? Next one here. Chris says, your thoughts on some of the moves in NFL free agency. I mean, I like what I've seen so far. Let me pull up the list of free agency so I'm not mistaken here. You know, there's been a couple trades. You know, I saw Joe Mixon got traded to the Texans. Looks like the Texans are just loading up on everybody right now. So that's that. I'm going to look here. Oh, Calvin Ridley getting that contract from the Tennessee Titans. That I thought that was pretty crazy. Also, Kirk Cousins, man. Kirk Cousins got probably the best manager in the history of sports. This dude has had so many big-time contracts, which is so insane to look at, to be honest with you. it's nuts, man. Let's start off first with the trades here, because trades has also been a part of this journey of the NFL offseason so far since the league year started. But we also could look at the free agent signings as well, and I'd love to get your guys' thoughts on which moves stood out to most of you guys. So let's take a look at this really quick. I'll put this here on the screen. First one here we got, let's go to the Bears. Let me take my ugly mug off the screen here so you guys can look at this yourselves. Okay, here we go. So the first trade obviously was Ryan Bates, offensive lineman, got traded to the Bears for a fifth-round draft pick. Buccaneers traded for Carlton Davis. I also saw today that the Lions signed the nose tackle for the Bengals, DJ Reader. I think that's a nice pickup for them. That's a good one. Mac Jones got traded to be a backup quarterback at Jacksonville. I mentioned the Joe Mixon trade. Jerry Jeudy for the Broncos got traded to the Cleveland Browns. Brian Burns, this was the big news coming out of the week that the Giants basically fleeced the Panthers to get Brian Burns on their roster. Morgan Moses, a offensive lineman, got traded to the Jets. And a trade with the Steelers, we saw Deontay Johnson going from Pittsburgh down to Carolina. I didn't see that coming. That sarcasm, I definitely did see that coming. Let's look at the other lists of free agents here. Zach Ertz got picked up by the Washington Commanders. Mitch Morse, the center for the Bills, got to the Jaguars. There's a lot of decent moves. You know, some people got retained. I thought it was interesting that the Packers, they picked up Josh Jacobs and let go of Aaron Jones. And then Aaron Jones goes to the Minnesota Vikings. That was interesting. So, we got a question here from Sam. Let's see what Sam here has to say. Sam Howell just traded to the Seahawks. Maybe Justin Fields gets traded to Washington. I think that's a possibility. You know, I think some things are left up. I think there's some things left on the table, which is why I feel maybe the Bears haven't gone in, like, went crazy with their spending, because, you know, what happens with Justin also has to be an indicator of how you want to shape the rest of your roster as well. So that's not a bad idea. I also had the idea of Justin possibly being traded to the Giants, but we'll have to see how that plays out. But that's a good suggestion, bro. It really is. I'm curious just as much as everybody else of how that's going to play out with Justin. Do we keep him? Will it be Caleb Williams? I tell you, man, I stopped listening to local sports talk radio here because the daily discourse over this situation between these two quarterbacks has been so nauseating that I just needed a break from it, to be honest with you. So that's that. What else? Oh, Russell Wilson is now a quarterback with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Mitch Trubisky is leaving the Steelers. He went to the Bills. Try to remember some other moves. Oh, yeah, Sam Darnold's now with the Vikings. There's been a lot of big moves here and there. Christian Wilkins, the defensive lineman for the Miami Dolphins, is now part of the Las Vegas Raiders. That was an interesting move. I mentioned Saquon Barkley earlier. There's a lot of good moves across the board for a lot of different teams. Bears picked up DeAndre Swift and Kevin Byard, two veterans. I've liked what I've seen so far. There's still some bigger names out there. Kind of curious to see what happens with the whole wide receiver position, because obviously that's something the Bears need to address quick and in a hurry. T. Higgins requested a trade for the Bengals. Where does he go? Is this something where maybe the Bears could, maybe trade the ninth pick to the Vikings for Justin Jefferson? I don't know. That's the idea. There's a lot of different things going on with the NFL right now, and it's hard to catch up, stuff like that. But another receiver just went off the board, as I'm talking to you guys. Curtis Samuel, former receiver of the Commanders, just went to the Buffalo Bills on a 3-year contract. So 3 years, $30 million for Curtis Samuel. I know that was a guy that a lot of people wanted the Bears to go after. So that's that. That's my brief breakdown of the free agency so far. Thoughts on Andrade and Judgment Day interaction. Where does it go, you think? Well, that's a good question. There's a good possibility where Andrade could more or less join the Judgment Day, which leads to Damian Priest getting the boot from the group. That's a possibility. I can see that happening. Or this could be something where this is Dominic's next feud, and Dominic and Andrade get to feud each other. But I like the proposition. I'm glad that Andrade's not just going to be sitting and catering, and they actually have something for him since he's come back. So that's cool. That's my brief thoughts on the whole situation there. Thoughts on the new Roxanne Perez. I get where she was coming from with her promo on Tuesday, but she's trying way too hard to be like AJ Lee. Trying way, way too hard. Especially the facial expressions, too. Reaction to Kevin Kelly being fired. I don't know what happened with him, man. I really don't. That whole situation as a whole is weird. I guess he's blaming Ian Riccobotti, trying to accuse him of, trying to get Kevin Kelly to lose his job or something like that. It's so hard and confusing to try to pinpoint what actually happened. But I've been a fan of Kevin Kelly for a long time, and I thought he was going to have some good work there with him and Nigel. But Tony Khan has this fatuation with Tony Schiavone, and I just didn't think it was going to work. And it was also weird when they did the first Forbidden Door, and they made Kevin Kelly the fourth guy on the chair, and that Kevin Kelly wasn't even allowed to call a match as a play-by-play guy for the Forbidden Door. It was always excrement dominated the volume of opportunities of the matches were being called for those shows, and that was what it was. So it was kind of strange. Where do you think Mike Santana ends up? That's a good question. You know what, Chris? I think either Mike Santana either goes to Impact, or he goes back to Impact, or he goes to NXT. That's my prediction. I think Mike Santana either goes to NXT or Impact. That's a good question. Last one here for Chris. It says, out of Okada, Ospreay, and Moné signings, who will have the bigger impact in AEW? It all depends on presentation and opportunity. I'm going to go with Ospreay. I think they're going to try to run that guy to the ground, unfortunately. But I do think that Ospreay will have more meaningful stuff on the show. Okada will probably be used sparingly here and there. And I just don't think Mercedes is going to have the impact that people are making it out to be. I'm not saying that she have no impact, but if you ask me out of the three signings, I'll say Ospreay will have the biggest impact in AEW, but that's just my opinion. Let's see what else we got here. By the way, for those who are watching on YouTube, do me a favor, like this video and subscribe to our channel. I appreciate the support, everybody. If you have any questions, please feel free to come say hello and ask me any questions. I don't mind. thank you, Chris, for the questions this week, bro. I appreciate it. As always, make sure to follow me on Twitter at XTeamZaletta24X on Twitter. All right. Next set of questions come from the good brother Mike Rubio at Main Event Swerve. Make sure to follow him there. Good brother from Houston, Texas. Mike says, what up, Oos? It's good to be back in the back porch. Fresh off my first Raw live in H-Town in more than 10 years. That's pretty cool. Let's get some questions about Houston, Chicago, and beyond. Here goes. So, number one. So, some doofus is saying WWE is in trouble because some empty seats in Houston's on Monday. Would you believe me if I said there is less than 100 empty seats and it was deemed a sellout? I would believe you. I can see on my screen that that arena was packed on Monday. So, you know, if we're going to have comparison arguments of who's drawing more viewers or drawing more, like, attendance for these shows between WWE and AEW, if you're an AEW fan, you're just getting yourself in a losing argument. So I wouldn't even try to do that. That's just a stupid thing to start getting yourself into. How do you think our H-Town crowd did overall? I thought there was some good energy and sizable pots being there and watching some clips back after. I thought the crowd was good when it needed to, as far as like the big time like moments and stuff like that, as far as like Cody being out there. What happened towards the end of that main event? I thought they were really cool, like good, like they made a lot of noise for the Ricochet, JD McNugget portion of that gauntlet match. I thought the crowd's decent. I would say it's one of the best crowds that we've heard so far in the road to WrestleMania, but I thought it was pretty good. What do you think of Drew McIntyre's heel run so far? Is he cruising for a CM Punk bruising with all of this taunting? One, I love it. Two, hashtag we want Drew. And three, yes, he is bruising. He is cruising for a CM Punk bruising. I tell you what, man. Monday Night Raw is coming to Chicago in a couple weeks. I'm bummed out that I won't get to attend the show in person because I have to cover the show live. So, Allstate Arena and their stupid ass rules won't allow you to cover shows live in person. So I'll tell you what, man, I'm very excited to see what's going to happen with Drew McIntyre and CM Punk and Seth Rollins for that matter. Drew McIntyre is, if you ask me, I think Drew McIntyre so far has been the MVP of this WrestleMania season. He's clicking on all cylinders, and he's getting one chance, right? He's getting one chance on Monday, and Drew's like, say what if you're happy that I took out CM Punk, and then the one that really pops me with the taunts that he does for CM Punk is the whole DM Punk thing. And I told you about this last week. Goes drive around his car in San Antonio in the parking lot, and the fans are like yelling at him and chanting for CM Punk, and then Drew plays Cult of Personality on his phone. That video had me dying laughing, man. Drew McIntyre is an absolute menace, and he is a player hater of all player haters. So let's just say that. Speaking of surprise returns, what do you think of WWE embracing Travis Scott on Raw? There's mixed reaction here, but do you still hear a lot of hate for the Astroworld concert incident a few years ago? I haven't paid too much attention to that whole situation, Mike. I've heard about it, but I guess Travis Scott is from Houston, so you know he wanted to be at the show, and he seems like he's a wrestling fan, so it really doesn't bother me that he attended the show on Monday. I'm just not that familiar to the whole Astroworld thing. Now, what was the concert that inspired the Fyre Fest thing? The AEW does Fyre Fest. I know about that situation. Number five, he says, I was amazed by the Becky and Liv Morgan match, especially the amount of time they kept it interesting. Was that one of Liv's best? Quick answer to that question, yes. I thought it was a very, very good outing for her. And they were given proper time, and Liv Morgan could go, man. I get it. Trust me. Her her waterfall game is second to none. But the girl is very good in the ring, and I don't think she gets enough props, especially for my colleagues who do shows like this. Let's see. Other than Rock, Roman, and Cody, and maybe a few others, who is your favorite entrance to see live? I think Rhea's may get the honorable mention. That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe I'm just like a sucker for like old school stuff. So I always enjoy seeing Randy Orton's entrance in person. So, I know Randy's theme song can be hit and miss to some people, but I always liked Randy Orton's entrance. You know, the Judgment Day's entrance I think is pretty cool, especially seeing it in person. I remember going to the Hell in the Cell show a couple years ago, and this is when Edge was still part of the group. They had their entrance in, so I thought that was pretty dope seeing them together in person. That was awesome. And, of course, CM Punk. be remiss without mentioning my guy. But those are some entrances here and there that really stand out the most to me, at least from the current roster. And, of course, you'd be remiss without mentioning The Undertaker. Undertaker has the best entrance in the history of wrestling. And I'll throw in Triple H in there as well. Why not? At the announcement of Monday, what team do you predict will have a breakout performance in the ladder match at WrestleMania? I'm going with DIY. I think either the New Catch Republic or the Street Profits will probably be representing SmackDown in that six-pack tag team ladder match. Either way, that match is going to be fucking awesome, and I'm excited for it. It's going to be pretty dope. Let's see what else we got here. Along the announcement path, what do you think of Cleveland getting SummerSlam? Should Chicago get an outdoor show soon? Yes, to your second question, I definitely would love to see a Chicago show. Honestly, this is going to pop Sam here and everybody who's still watching this live, but I wouldn't mind going to a WWE show at Wrigley Field. I think that'd be pretty cool. I'm not going to lie. Even though there's a bunch of yuppies up there, and God knows what could happen with drunk wrestling fans in Wrigleyville. But I would love to see a PLE or something like that at Wrigley Field. I think that'd be pretty dope. So that's that. I'll tell you, man, I'm not going to be living in Chicago by the time the Bears' new stadium comes up. So hopefully we get some new information on how things go with that whole situation. And we'll see what happens. But honestly, I think it'd be pretty cool if Wrigley Field got a wrestling show. Let's see here. Also with Chicago, what do you think of the free agent move to get Swift from the Eagles? Do you see your team making more moves soon? I think it's a good pickup because it's something that we need is out of the running back room. I know that a lot of people are upset about the amount of money that he got, but comparing $8 million a year compared to the $13 million that Saquon Barkley got from the Eagles, I mean, honestly, you got DeAndre Swift for cheap money, to be honest with you. And plus, he had a good season last year, and we need somebody that's good with catching the ball out of the backfield. So you got a new offense. Oh my God. Are you ripping me, bro? Is this a shoot? Oh, why am I not surprised? I saw somebody seriously say this last night that Dynamite was going to hit over 1 million viewers last night. Let me see this again. 801,000. By God. I'm not even the biggest ratings fan guy in the world, but what does that tell you right there? You could bring in fucking Seth Rollins into AEW and they're still not going to pop 1 million viewers. You could bring in Randy Orton and they're not going to pop 1 million because you got an inept booker running the show. Barely over 800,000 viewers for big business. More like a flop. My God. Look, going back to DeAndre Swift, I think it's a nice pickup. I think it's a nice added addition to the backfield. I do expect that they will make more moves. I actually want them to go after Eric Armstead, that defensive lineman that got let go from the 49ers, or the San Francisco 69ers, as I would like to say. I think it would be a nice pickup, but I do think the Bears will make more moves. But they're also in a juggling act of what to do. Do you trade out the first pick? Do you keep Justin Fields? So I guess there's a reason why they're kind of stalling on the bigger name acquisitions and stuff like that. But I think they'll make more moves for sure. Next question here, he says, with a lot of movement in free agency, what has been the biggest surprise so far? I say Kirk Cousins to Atlanta. I wasn't really surprised by Kirk family member going to Atlanta. I was not surprised by that at all, actually. The one for me was the amount of money that Calvin Ridley got from the Titans. That is an overpay for a free agent. Let's just say that. number 11 here, he says, I may be overthinking this, but what crossover is more likely to happen in WrestleMania season? Any superstar being on Abbott Elementary set in Philadelphia, or any Jason Kelce moment during WrestleMania? That's a good question. I think Jason Kelce might do something at WrestleMania. I don't know what. Maybe Jason Kelce like does the cold open or something like that for WrestleMania this year. we'll see. I'm not really sure, to be honest with you. I'm sorry. I'm thrown off by this number from Dynamite last night. That's fucking wild, man. 801,000 viewers. I do think Jason Kelce will do something at WrestleMania, though, for sure. Also, do you see wrestling leaning into Rocky Creed references and trying to get Stallone or Michael B. Jordan involved in WrestleMania? There'll definitely be Rocky references. Would not be surprised if you see something with Cody running up those steps in Philadelphia like Rocky did. I would not be surprised by that at all. When 2024 began, would you have believed that The Rock would be at WrestleMania but Bad Bunny wouldn't? Not necessarily. I thought one way or another The Rock was going to be involved at WrestleMania, so I'm not really surprised by that. What do you think of a Tiffany Stratton Bianca Belair match at WrestleMania? Too soon or just right with limited history between the two? As a straight up match, I guess, but they would have to put a lot more time into some promos starting tomorrow night. But I don't know. I probably would hold off for that match for a while, actually, because you could get some good leverage out of that, but I do not see that as a singles match right now. Number 15. Okay, now to unpopular opinion, but was the Mercedes Moné AEW debut underwhelming relative to the hype for weeks? Well, Mike, I think you just answered your own question, Deuce, because yes, it was underwhelming, and the ratings reflected that. So yes, it was underwhelming. Once again, I may not be alone. I think that Sasha Banks has been one of the most overrated wrestlers in the history of professional wrestling, but that's neither here nor there. Next one. To be fair, which is more surprising, that all the hype of Big Business and the sellout was only half of the building capacity, or that AEW was out-trended by the Love is Blind reunion after an hour? Wow. Hey, man. A wrestling show being out-trended by a love-based game show on Netflix is that, again, tells you everything you need to know, man. I don't think I ever watched Love is Blind. Now, I have watched Love Island. I do like the show Love Island on Peacock. I enjoyed it for the most part. But I have not watched Love is Blind, though. I have not watched that. Possibly more important, where does this Monet thing go? What matchup could she have that would move the needle, so to speak? I'm not sure there is one. Well, again, that's another good question, because I don't know which one it is. I think her and Britt Baker would have a couple of cool matches, I guess. Maybe her against Thunder Rosa, but as far as moving the needle, how you set up with her and Toni Storm will be probably telling as far as how that goes, if it's successful or not. But at the same time, Mike, I don't know what they're going to do to make it interesting. That's the thing. on a bigger picture, though, for AEW, the last pay-per-view sold out about 200,000 buys, which is a record. But shouldn't that number be higher after several years now? Yes. Quick answer to that question is yes. The standard should be higher for a company that's called All Elite Wrestling. So, yes, it should be higher. Second to last question here. He says, were you surprised by John Cena's bizarre Oscars moment over the weekend? No, I was not surprised by that. I know some people are saying this is some part of like Illuminati thing where you have to be embarrassed in front of the Hollywood crowd in order to take your next step into a higher level as a performer. But man, I don't know. I thought it was funny for what it was. I guess Margot Robbie liked what she saw. The most funny part about that whole thing with John Cena on Sunday was the fact that Nikki Bella was in the crowd while that was happening. Her ex-fiance, which I was in attendance for in it at the dump known as the Citrus Bowl for WrestleMania 33, I was at that show where John proposed to Nikki. And here we are all these years later. She has a kid with another guy. And she's in the crowd, and the guy's almost fully naked on worldwide TV right in front of her. That's just hilarious, man. Anyways, final question of the podcast this week. And thank you, Mike, for the question this week. Do you think WWE dares to finish the story and have him win the title at Mania only for Damian Priest to take him out at Cash In to end the night? All right, that's it for now. Ooze, thanks, as always, for your honesty and keeping the show journey going. I appreciate you, good brother. Great questions this week. I do not believe Damian Priest will cash in on Cody Rhodes. I do not see that happening. If anything, Damian Priest will cash in on Seth Rollins. So, like I was saying earlier, I know a lot of people are forecasting that Seth is going to turn on Cody on night two, but will Seth even make it towards the end of that match? That's the thing. Drew McIntyre, Seth could probably retain and beat Drew McIntyre. I won't be surprised, but one way or another, Seth is not walking out of Philly with that championship. It could be that night, on night two, where Priest capitalizes on a laid out Seth Rollins, or it could be the night after on Raw. One way or another, Seth Rollins is not walking out of Philly with the World Heavyweight Championship. I do not believe that Damian Priest is going to cash in on Cody Rhodes. I don't see that happening. But that's just me. On a note, I want to thank Chris and Mike for the awesome questions this week. I want to thank the good brother, Sam Piopo, for hanging out with us and interacting with us here in the chat. And I want to thank all of you for watching the live stream as well. For those who are watching live on YouTube, please do us a favor, like this video, and subscribe to our channel as we're on the road to 1,000 subscribers. Don't forget to follow the podcast on our audio versions at Spotify. Helps expand the reach of the show. Also, if you're an Apple Podcast listener, please leave us a review. That also helps expand and reach the show as well. Make sure to check out my wrestling transcripts at WrestlingHeadlines.com. And you can find me on Twitter at The Hoots Podcast. I am at Instagram at Josh Lopez Music. Or remind you all to be the authentic product that is yourself. Remember, nobody dictates the pace of your life but yourself and the man upstairs. I love you guys. Have a wonderful weekend. Let me know what you guys thought about the podcast, good, bad, or indifferent. I appreciate you all hanging out with me and watching this episode live. And the road to episode 500 continues here. So I appreciate the support. Everybody will be here to talk some more wrestling right here on the podcast at Hoots. Yay!
Bye-bye, bitch.